Welcome to Vogel Voices, a podcast put on by Vogel, which is a nonprofit here in Dallas, Texas. The purpose of the podcast is really to explain the impact that Vogel has on homeless children and their families here in Dallas. Welcome to the third episode of the Vogel Voices podcast. This podcast is meant to provide information about Vogel, a nonprofit organization in the Dallas community that provides services to homeless children and their families. Our mission is to help young children and their families prevent and overcome the traumatic effects of homelessness. We do this through early childhood programming, health programming, mental health programming, and family support services. We have three campuses throughout the Dallas community, one in the downtown area of Dallas, which is where our main campus is. We also have a site in our north location, which is in an emergency family shelter. And we also are about to open a third site in South Dallas in the Redbird shopping area. My name is Karen Hughes. I will be the host today of the podcast. I am the president and CEO of Vogel. My background includes a degree from Baylor University in elementary ed and kindergarten, and a master's degree from the University of Houston in educational management. Over the span of my entire career has really been focused on programming for children and families. But over the last 13 years, while being the CEO of Vogel, I have been really focused on working with children in trauma. So we're very excited today to introduce you to some of the staff at Vogel Alcove. So today I have with me Jaleesa McInnes, who is our lead clinical family support specialist, Chelsea Zeno, who is our director of family engagement, and Jemiah Reese, our adult mental health therapist. So thank you, ladies, for joining me today.
Thank you.
And so Jaleesa, Chelsea, and Jemiah, tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and your role at Vogel. And so, Jaleesa, let's start with you.
Okay. So I have a bachelor's degree from the University of North Texas in social work. I also have my master's degree from the University of Texas at Arlington in social work with a concentration in child and family service. In the past, I have worked in various case management positions, doing child welfare with CPS, foster and adoptions. I've also worked with the Dallas Children's Advocacy Center, and then I came to be a clinical case manager at Vogel. So in my current role, I am working with families that come to us in homeless situations, working with them to help them get stable, get the services that they need, help them get their basic needs met, and make sure that they can get to a point where they can thrive and pass on good things to their children.
Chelsea?
Yes, so my name is Chelsea. I am the Director of Family Engagement at Vogel. My background is in education. I went to Northwestern State University in Louisiana and obtained my Bachelor's of Early Childhood Education and a minor in Social Science. So I have a 13-year background in education, 5 years with adult education, and 3 years with consulting with careers. Right now, currently with my position at Vogel, I'm in charge of helping the parents finding careers and helping them with their academics. So meeting them where they are and helping them elevate their lives.
Perfect. Jemiah?
Hey, hi, I'm Jemiah Reese, and I'm the adult mental health therapist at Vogel. My background is I do have a bachelor's as well at University of North Texas, and that is in psychology with a minor in human development and family sciences. I also went on to Texas A&M Commerce, where I got my master's degree in clinical mental health studies. And after there is where I really delve into trauma. I help people who have experienced traumatic events and or certain experiences that have maybe left them in a place where they are not at their best self. And so through Vogel working here, I'm able to partner with them and work with the families as they come in and they get their children situated in services, but also help them heal so that way they really can take these tools, resources, and programming to truly thrive.
Great. So for the past 38 years, Vogel has been known in the Dallas community as the very unique organization that in the homeless space that works with the little ones, because we serve infants, toddlers, and preschool children, whereas most of the organizations that are serving homeless children are working with the adults. Mm-hmm. But long ago, our founders realized that the missing link was that no one was working with the children. And so that's how Vogel was founded, and that's what we have been founded on. But as we've grown and expanded over the years, we realized that not only should we, as we've strengthened our early childhood program, we've also expanded our programming to help families. And so several years ago, we really embraced the model of two generational programming, which is really based on the fact that if you really, the research shows, if you really want to break the cycle of poverty, you have to do it with both the child and the parent. And the more that you can do that under the same roof, the better off we are. Vogel actually adjusted their mission statement to include, you know, children and their families, and also included the area about really to prevent and overcome the traumatic effects of poverty. We don't want to just, you know, help them while they're homeless. We want to make sure that we are helping that family get on a different path and really overcome that. So today, the ladies I have with me today are the ones that make this happen every single day. So we're going to start by talking about our case management program. And so when children are enrolled at Vogel, they are assigned to a case manager. And they are then they meet with that case manager. And the case manager's job is really to take them from wherever they are. We literally meet the family where they are and then take them toward stability and thriving. However, that is not sometimes an easy journey. Mm-hmm. It's not a quick journey, and it's not a linear journey. And Jaleesa knows this all too well. So Jaleesa, as the lead case manager of our team of case managers, can you kind of describe what your role is as you provide case management services for our families?
Of course. So my main role as a case manager working with our families is to be an advocate and a broker for these families that we're working with. So step one is to get the children, of course, enrolled in the program so they can get what they need as far as early education. But then step two is going to be bringing in those parents and start assessing. We always want to go back. Tell us what happened. Go all the way back to your childhood. Tell me what got you sitting in front of me in this desk. And then let's talk about what your goals are, what your aspirations are, what strengths you have, what things do you feel like are holding you back, so we can put all that together and make a plan to propel you forward.
You know, we had a board meeting yesterday and last night, and we had actually a parent, that two parents there that were talking to the board about how Vogel has helped them, especially in the world of housing. I was really taken aback by what one of the moms said. She said the thing that was most important to her about Vogel is because all the organizations that she had dealt with and the different shelters she had was in, Vogel is the first one that asked, what do you want? Mm-hmm. What is your goals for your life? And that's where we start. And I think that's really, really important in the work we do. But we also, you mentioned that, you know, we want to take families from crisis, which is where we usually get them, from stability to then thriving.
Right.
So can you talk a little bit about how we go about measuring that and assessing that as we work with the families?
Right, so we use a self-sufficiency matrix tool that basically gives us a scale to rate and document the progress that the family makes as they're working with us. So typically, because they are coming in crisis, they're gonna have a relatively low number. So if we're talking specifically about housing, maybe they're doubled up at grandma's house or they're in a shelter, so they're gonna come in with the rating of a 2. But over time, we're gonna work with them to help them get their own housing, find a job, all the things that go into making life work as an adult. Mm-hmm. And we want to get them from that 2 to a 4. And then once we get them at that 4, how do we get you from that 4 to a 6, 6 to a 8, and so forth and so on.
And I'm assuming that some of those are harder to move than others. So like housing, or especially education, I would think is a difficult one. If you're coming in with a no GED, it's going to take a while to get you to the
Right. And that's the benefit of Vogel, is that we do have access to the wraparound services. It's not just case management alone. We are working with career advancement. We are working with mental health to, again, build that plan, figure out what they want, how we can help them meet their own goals and propel them forward.
A couple of weeks ago, Dallas released, Housing Forward released the results of the 2024 point in time count, mm-hmm. which is a count that's done in January where volunteers really fan out all over the community and count the homeless, and the shelters are on the street. We won't find many homeless families unless they're in the shelter. But the point in time count does give us kind of a trend for what we're seeing with the homeless population in Dallas. And it showed this year that family homelessness had gone down 15%. So that was the number of families that were either on the street or in the shelter. And most of them, that would have been shelter, mm-hmm. because you don't find many families on the street.
Of course.
But, you know, that's not a, you know, and the other thing is that when people come into Vogel, they have to be homeless with the entry. But at any given time, almost half of them have already found housing and employment. And that's not just done by magic.
Right.
So in terms of that 15%, Vogel can own part of that number of helping the team that you lead does that. So can you talk a little bit about what your team does to help families retain housing?
Of course. So one of the main things we do is we're definitely going to educate them on the importance of that stable housing and what that means, not only for them as parents, but that what that means for their children and the generations that are going to come after them. We're going to be working with them as far as budgeting, making sure that we're not just getting the first thing that comes along. Let's really put some thought into making sure that the choices we make are going to be a healthy, lasting choice. As a team, we are hitting the streets as well. We're going out to these apartment complexes, explaining about Vogel and say, hey, this is what we do and this is who we're serving. How can you help us? If we have a family that maybe doesn't make 3 times the rent, are you able to take 2.5 times the rent? Are we able to look past an eviction that happened 7 years ago? So we really just want to get out there, tell people about ourselves, work to help. Hold on, let me get that thought together. Get out to the community, talk about what we're doing and the people that we're serving and the needs that they have. We're also going out with the family, meeting them where they are. Let's go. And if there is an issue, talking to that apartment complex to make sure that we can have a conversation, make sure that they're not getting evicted. And then we're also working with our community to refer out to eviction assistance programs, getting them legal aid if that's what they need. Constantly scouring the internet to say, okay, which city in the Metroplex is opening up their permanent housing list? Let's get you on that list so we can get you something that's going to be a permanent assistance long term. Mm-hmm. So we do really like a lot of the work is in the office working with a parent, but a lot of it is also going out in the community with them and teaching and modeling how to get the housing and what they need to do to maintain it.
And then again, I would assume some of the barriers that we face are it's not like with chronic homeless when you're dealing with one person, one apartment, mm-hmm. you're dealing with a family. And
right.
so you're looking at 2 and 3 bedroom apartments, mm-hmm. Which are very high in terms of rent. So that's also a barrier that we have. So you mentioned that Vogel does provide the wraparound services that we have, and we do that through our, one of the important resources, through our Parent Opportunity Center, which is on the third floor of our main campus. And Chelsea runs that program. And so we provide job-ready training, career-ready training, and networking support. Programs and activities. So, Chelsea, can you describe just a little bit about what the kind of programs and services you offer through the Parent Opportunity Center?
Yes, definitely. With our Parent Opportunity Center, we offer programs starting with academics. So one of the main programs that we have is our Professional U program. It's a 12-week program where parents can come in if they're not working and in school and learn everything they need to learn about a job, how to maintain a job, how to get a job, how to dress for a job, interviewing skills, mock interviewing, going to career fair. So this is a 12-week course that they can take with Vogel that we came up with and that we're able to give them a certificate that they'll graduate from. We also offer our GED. So on Tuesdays and Thursdays, we'll have GED classes for the parents that we have from 5:30 to 7:30, where they can get one-to-one help. We do that through our essential ed programming. We also offer digital literacy. So we know that everything is changing with technology now. Every time you look, there's something new that's coming out. So we want to make sure that our parents are getting the same information that we're getting as well. So we offer that digital literacy anytime they want to come upstairs to the POC and get on the computer and learn about something, they can do that as well. To go back to Professional U, we do offer a driving class through Professional U that we're partnered with Streetwise. It's Streetwise Driving Academy, and they provide all the coaching for our driving classes. Also, we do a lot of enrichment classes. So we have a gardening class with our gardener, Vanessa, that's at Vogel. We also have a nutrition class with Scott, our chef at Vogel. And we have financial classes. We have how to groom yourself, basically. So anything that the parent really wants to make their life better, we try to offer it to them in an enrichment class or academic class at Vogel.
Tell me a little bit about we just did our first cohort of the Professional U program. So can we talk about some outcomes? And the outcomes were so good that we're actually doing Professional U 2.0. So can talk a little bit about that. Yeah.
We love a pivot. Yeah. So Professional U, we had some great outcomes. Our first year, we had around 20 parents that entered into Professional U. Out of those 20 parents, we had around 16 that got a job. And right now, we have some that have their jobs and ready to move on to Professional U2, which Professional U2 is basically about maintaining your job. Now I want to move up the corporate ladder. Now I want to network within my job, learning about those ethics that your company might have and how to withhold them within yourself, how to hold them within yourself. So from Professional U, we also had parents that got their GED. So we just currently had a parent that got her GED. We'll be having her graduation next week. So those are the things that we look forward to, is basically meeting the parents where they are and then creating programming around them.
And so when you say that, meeting the parents where they are and mm-hmm. creating around them is kind of what we've had to do at our North location.
Right.
Because those parents are kind of in a different space because they're living actually in the shelter. And so we've kind of had to get creative, but you've done some recent, some really cool things up there. So can you talk a little bit about what you've been doing up at our North location?
So our case managers did do a survey of our parents at the Vogel North location, and we wanted to see what classes they would be interested in there. So one of the main classes was financial education. So we're going to start beginning a class called How Money Works there. It's going to be offered twice a week, where the parents can come in and learn anything about budgeting, getting an apartment, if they're ready to start buying a home, how they can buy a home. Also, we also have our GED program out there as well, which we noticed that a lot of the parents at that location, they want to obtain their GED and their high school diploma. So we're trying to get them into those programs to get started there. We're also with Professional U2, since it's going to be basically focused at Vogel, Maine, we also want to offer it to our parents at Vogel North. So we're going to be partnering with Ascend, which is formerly Wings, and they're going to be doing the one-to-one career coaching with our parents.
Terrific. You're very creative in the kind of things you do. So you did big thing recently. You did a big baby shower, and then you did a Mother's Day event at both the locations. So talk a little bit about that and how...
So our community baby shower, this is our second baby shower that we've had. So we hopefully next year will be even bigger. I partner with a company called Latched Support. They're out of San Antonio. So they actually travel from San Antonio to Dallas for every baby shower. And they handle all the registration, all the resources that we're giving to the parents. Basically, we invite all the shelters to come out, and the parents can learn anything about parenting. How to breastfeed, how to help your partner if the dads are coming to it. They can learn how to help their partner when they're pregnant. They get free car seats. They get any resource that you can think you would need as a pregnant parent. Also, they're able to get presents. So we know that some of our parents, they can't have baby showers. Mm-hmm. They don't have the resources. They don't have the community around them to have a baby shower. So having us there to create that community for them was one of the reasons why I came up with trying to have a community baby shower, because I don't want anyone to feel like, you know, they haven't experienced that in their life. With our Mother's Day program, this is one of the greatest things that our moms like that they look forward to every year. It's a day of pampering, a day of enrichment. So this past Mother's Day event, we did a paint and sip, mocktails, of course, where we had on YouTube, we had like a painter that was explaining to them how to do the paint. And I could say we have some Picassos. Vogel. We definitely have some ladies that can be an artist and have their artwork in, you know, hotels, anywhere like that. So look forward to that. Maybe we might move to that.
Exactly.
And we had a nice dinner for them as well. We had a raffle, so they really just enjoyed being around each other and being able to talk to other moms that's going through the same things as them.
And Father's Day is coming up, and I hear you've got something in the works for Father's Day.
Yes, yes. So we, at first, we were going to do something like a chili cook-off for the dads, but I spoke with the team, and we decided to do like a grilling and gaming day for them. So we'll have a gaming truck come out where the dads can kind of go in there, and then we'll have dinner for them as well, trying to get some barbers to come out so they can come cut some hair. Mm-hmm. Always want to make the parents feel special. And like they are wanted here at Vogel. So whatever we can do to make them feel special, that's what I want to do.
Yeah, and we also have one of the things that a lot of people don't realize when they think about family homelessness, because a lot of people, when they think of homelessness, they really think about the person on the street living on the tent that we drove by to get here. But they don't think of the face of a infant, toddler, preschooler. Mm-hmm. They certainly don't think about a mom that's got several children that's homeless, and we talk a lot about moms. I mentioned Father's Day, but we talk a lot about moms because 95% of the families that we serve are single moms.
Right.
But the main cause that a lot of people don't realize, the main cause of family homelessness is the lack of a support system.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Jaleesa talked a little bit about that and how we are doing that. But we also have some extra money and that we call our emergency fund. So Jaleesa, can you talk a little bit about the types of things that the case managers would tend to request or that the parents need that y'all, and talk a little bit about a resource room too and how you refer parents through that.
Of course. So yes, we have a huge, amazing resource room that is chock full with literally anything that anybody might need. Strollers, diapers, shoes, socks, school uniforms, snacks, birthday gifts, I mean, books, coloring books. I mean, literally you name it. We have it up there. One of the things I like the most about Vogel is that if we don't have it in-house, our team definitely works hard to go out in the community and get it. So one of the things that we don't obviously can't have stored away in our resource room is emergency funding, because as hard as our parents work and as hard as we work to help get them in better situations, the reality is sometimes life happens. So we do fortunately have emergency funding so we can help them with getting those lights turned on if something happens and their lights get cut off, helping them get access to security deposits that might be a little bit bigger based on spotty rental history. We've got resources for that, both in-house and outside of that. Gas cards, Ubering sometimes to emergency doctor's appointments or anything like that. We've definitely got emergency funding to make sure that they don't lose the progress that they've made based on something that may or may not have been out of their control.
And it has been interesting to note that it's just a little bit of money, because we do not give large amount of money that people would depend on us for, because we have very strict policies about that.
Right.
But just a little bit of money can keep somebody moving forward. There's the story I always tell, which is still amazing to me, is the mom who had a car, so that's a good thing, but the car breaks, and she had put a lot of money into the car the last few months. And she called her case manager one day and said, "My car's not working, I'm quitting my job." And we're like, "Wait, don't do this."
Yeah.
And we actually, in that case, sent a mobile mechanic out to that parent. And for $8.31, I always remember that number, $8.31, the mechanic put a cap on that was left off by the previous mechanic.
Wow.
That's all it needed. But yet, that mom was going to quit her job. Talk about the non-linear. We would have gone way back and started over. So it's just amazing, just a little bit of effort.
Yeah.
I also remember the mom that had two infant twins. She was living in an apartment complex that had no laundry facilities. Mm. And she had to walk because she had no transportation, wasn't on the bus line. She walked. So, I mean, she would be dripping wet and her kids would be, but she had no way to do her clothes. And then, so she eventually went and got rented one from those companies where you can rent appliances. And her case manager was actually working with her on their budget and was like, "What is this huge expense?" And she explained that. And we're like, no, 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 no. You know, because by the time you do that, you could have bought four of them.
Yes.
And, but she didn't have any other options. So we bought her a washer and a dryer and put in her apartment. So it's those kind of things. And in fact, we've also had wonderful donors that have said, look, we're moving, you know, because that's the other thing. A lot of people think, oh, they got an apartment. But when you think about a family that's getting an apartment, they don't have any furniture to move into it. So, you know, sometimes we have families that get the apartment, they pay the deposit with everything they have, and then they're left with nothing to sleep on. But we at least have a great relationship with the Dallas Furniture Bank, and we actually pay for our parents to be able to go to the Dallas Furniture Bank so that they can at least get starter furniture. But we have lots of donors that sometimes they're going to move, and they're like, hey, I don't need this anymore. Can we do it? And we will pay the movers to go pick it up and take it to our family. So that's the wonderful thing about some of our donors. And I think the other thing about the resource room to make sure is everything that you mentioned in that resource room is donated by the Dallas community. Right. We do not have to get that. So many times donors think, well, I can't give a financial donation, but Vogel takes donations for all those kind of things, especially kids' clothes. So those wraparound services that we're talking about are very, very important to keeping parents going forward. So many of our parents, as you can imagine, they're single moms. They have some mental health concerns. We actually do a screening of them, which we'll talk about in a minute, but that y'all actually do. Jaleesa's group does that as the parents come in. They do a screening for mental health concerns. And then, and one of the things we found was previously, we used to, once we knew there was a concern, we would refer out to the community. Those mental health resources really have become far and few between to who to refer out to. And some of the people that were in the downtown corridor around us have moved outside of Dallas, downtown Dallas. And so it really became a problem because when you think about it, when you're a single mom and you are going, doing your best to go to work, put, you know, even, you know, keep your family with some money, and you've got two or three kids that are in childcare. So you come at the end of the day and you go to work and you pick up your child at childcare, and then you've got to get back on public transportation. And sometimes that's two bus rides. If it's on time,
it's raining.
And then you get the kids home. You've got to do dinner and get them to bed. The last thing on your list of to-dos is to go make an appointment with a therapist and go see a therapist. So if they got anything, they were literally just going to somewhere where they could see, it's kind of like take the number at Baskin-Robbins then go see a therapist, and then that's it. And the next time it would be seeing somebody else. So what we made the decision several years ago is that Vogel would create our own mental health program. And we brought it in-house so that it also falls under that, under the same roof kind of concept of the two-generational programming, so that moms could actually do their mental health when they either drop off, or if they're not working during the day, they can do it in the middle of the day. But if they're working, they can do it in the evenings. And we actually, our regular child care center closes at 6 o'clock, but we do aftercare, and that comes under Chelsea's department as well, because you can, if you're going to some of the classes in the POC, GED and other things, or you're doing mental health, you can actually say, we will have your child in child care while you're doing that, and that helps our moms. And so our mental health program really has grown. We have Jemiah, who's our one on-site adult mental health therapist, and then we have a few contract therapists, and then we also have a a psychiatric nurse practitioner that works with us on a contract basis. That's been so great. So, Jemiah, talk to us a little bit about our adult mental health program, and you know, how the screening, the referral, and then how you actually work with our parents.
Oh yeah, so it all really does start with our amazing social workers, how they're able to, you know, really connect with them. And so one of the things or tools that the social workers use, yes, they do case management, but I love that they do have an assessment tool where they do a psychosocial. That is where, again, kind of like how Jaleesa was speaking earlier, they're gonna get your background, where are you at, what led you to here? And then they end with something called Connected Minds, where it has two main, again, tools that we use that are very common. One is for anxiety, and the other one is for depression, and we also have a suicide screener as well. So after the parent is able to tell their story, we're able to kind of see, hey, so for the last 2 weeks or maybe a month, where have you really been mentally? Like, have you been having racing thoughts? Have you been struggling to get out of the bed? Do you have trouble connecting with others or even disconnected from your own child? Like, where are you mentally? And so based on those scores and feedback, the social worker is able to, again, connect with that parent to be like, hey, in order to get you to that thriving moment, this might be truly the caveat that we're looking for, is your mental health. Because truly, I have watched these women come in, like you said, tired, exhausted, did not sleep last night because they maybe did an overnight shift trying to make sure that they make ends meet. And that is the last thing on their mind. And so even as they are pouring out their trauma, their story, their barriers, their struggles, they still don't, you know, make the connection of like, hey, let me talk to someone about my own feelings. So that's why it's wonderful that we do have a Vogel community, whether it's a teacher saying, hey, mom, you're doing a great job, but I do see, you know, you are struggling. You do know there's a therapist. Again, social workers, even with Chelsea, talking with them about their careers. So I really do love that we are a Vogel family, and that any point in time we are able to tap that parent on the shoulder to be like, hey, I'm noticing something. You do have resources here. And so on a personal note, I make sure I make rounds, right? When I don't have my therapy sessions, I am literally making laps in the POC and on the second floor and on the first floor. If you know me, I will talk to absolutely anybody.
How are you?
How's your day? Did you eat today? Especially our dads. I'm always very, very adamant to make sure, and I stop them to be like, hey, you are seen. Yeah. You are known. Mm-hmm. Would you like a granola? always have snacks for sure. But after that, sometimes again, after others have encouraged them to come, they're able to again go to their social worker, request that service, and then they get a lovely call from me saying, hey, I am here for you. When are you ready? And I love that we are able to pivot to be like, hey, if you work, that's okay. Mm-hmm. I have some afternoon spots, evening, if you will, to meet you where you are. Or maybe you do have that overnight shift or something like that, to where it's like, hey, middle of the day, I'm here for you. So I'm so excited again that they are able to do through different access points, get to that service. And then again, I'm making sure I make that personal connection to talk to them and be like, hey, when can we get something set up to start your journey towards healing truly?
Great. And Jemiah, we're lucky because you've had some special certifications and you do some special type of training. And you're better off talking about what it's called, but can you talk a little bit about some of that specialized training that you've had and how effective it's been for families?
Yes. So there are two lovely tools. I have many tools, but the two of my favorites, one is called Santray Therapy. And so through Santray, people and adults, like, this isn't just for children. When they all walk in, they're like, what are all these toys? And I'm like, actually, they're for you, my friend. But it's called Santray, and we use small symbols. It could be literally little miniature toys. It could be rocks with faces or words on them, but it's able to give them access to expressing themselves without the words. Sometimes those parents are so ready to get it out, but they're like, what do I say? And especially these brave young women, they have been through a lot. And typically what I've noticed the trend here is they were the children that were missed. And then they grew up and then they had children and the cycle continued. And so I'm able to come in and just really say like, hey, I'm here, but maybe if you can't get it out, here's a plethora of things to express. And they are able to really access those emotions, those memories that are maybe too hard to describe. And again, especially on the trauma end, even the bravest soul or anyone here in a, you know, whatever trait of life that you're in, if it's trauma, it's hard to talk about. Mm-hmm. No matter if it was fresh, if it was when you were five, it's hard. And so I like giving them the tools of like, no, you can still heal. I can still hear your story just as clear as day through these symbols. And so through different worlds that they build, I'm able to sit down with them and say, hey, I noticed this or I noticed that. And through those connections, they're able to say, ah, that was what I was trying to say. And I feel better now that I got it out and I was there to connect with them as they got it out. So I absolutely love using Santray because also they become little kids again. That is one thing that these moms always talk about is busy, 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 responsibilities. I have this appointment, this dentist appointment, this kid has a fever, I gotta go pick them up. You know, all sorts of things. And I'm just like, wait, but you know, what about you? Like, you still need to process, you still need to get those things out. So I'm glad I'm able to bring the playfulness, you know, back into their lives. Like, no, you can still feel joy, you can still feel relief. And just silliness, because again, everyone as an adult, we need a silly moment. Like, we work hard all the time, so everyone needs a silly moment. But sand tray therapy is absolutely amazing for our parents. And next, what I do is my favorite thing to talk about.
So amazing.
And I get so excited about it because truly, this is the therapy that people have been seeking. If you are that parent that has experienced hardship, after trauma, after relived experience, this is your ticket to healing. And it is all through colors. So it's called emotional transformation therapy. And so through frequencies or colors, if you will, I'm able to stimulate the brain. So as they're accessing their emotions, their stories, I'm able to basically 16 million colors, and that is a lot, but I can show them 16 million colors through this awesome device called a light box where they're able to be stimulated. So as they're talking, I'm literally helping reroute those pathways instead of you being immediately triggered, right? For those domestic violence survivors, I get it. Trying to thrive and move forward and even co-parent with this individual is stressful. I am here to help you find, it is in there in you. I just need to find the right color. So through those processes, within an hour, relief. And I have seen, oh my gosh, it works with physical things as well. I've actually had a mom, again, she was in transitional housing in the shelter, but she had the newborn, then she had two toddlers running around. She was literally exhausted. And so she was on her way downstairs and she had a little incident and it did do some, you know, things to her back. She was able to get rehabilitated, but she still struggled with back pain. So I can only imagine if you had a crew full of little ones running around and you're trying to pick up toys and carry the backpack and the baby bag, and then we have to get on the bus. Right. Like, she's just agitated purely off of her body, just, you know, and I acknowledge that in her, and I said, hey, this is something we can fix. This is something we can heal from. And she did not believe me. She's like, you're just gonna show me a color and my back is gonna start hurting and I can carry three baby bags? I said, I dare you. So we did the session, and literally in that moment, she's like, I'm sitting up straighter. Oh my, there's no pressure on my back. And literally the next day she came and she's like, guess who got off the bus with no back pain? Everyone's here. Like, that was like the most joyful drop off she's probably had. So I'm glad that not only does it give relief emotionally, right? Those traumas that have occurred over the years, but also the physical relief. Cause please know, I am very big on Abraham Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And at the very bottom is safety. And then on top of that is your basic needs, water, health, shelter, like my basic needs. So a lot of times I love giving them that reality check of, my friend, I think it's your body. I don't, you know, of course, yes, your mind is connected to that, but let's give your body that rest so that way you can go on, you know, back in time and go to that trauma and really heal. So I love using those two therapies, but emotional transformation therapy is my jam.
Which is very special that we are able to have that for our parents. But you know, any type of therapy like that, consistency is key. And that's the thing that I think is so important about our program, that we have parents that will literally come back and see the same therapist for weeks and months at a time, which is so important to really get to the main issues. So can you talk about how important consistency is with the clients you have and what you do to try to keep them coming?
Yes, no, definitely. Because getting started, I will say, is kind of the hurdle that our families face. Because number one, they're not used to anything like Vogel. The teacher said good morning to me and hugged my baby, no attitude. I go to my social worker, you telling me I actually asked for a service and I got it. You telling me I went upstairs, then I'm actually signed up for a GED. You know, it's almost unbelievable. And they're just like, there's no way. So then they offer the crowning thing of, you can heal from your past. They're like, no way. So I definitely take my time again, because they are so worth it. And Vogel has invested a lot in me to where I can go and make those personal connections to be like, hey, just get to know me. You know, I'm down to earth. I'm super goofy. I love fashion and style. I love snacks. Like, I'm just a regular person. I'm no one to be afraid of. I am not here to judge you. I am not here to change you. I'm just helping you elevate. I'm helping you become the version that you truly want to be. And so once they kind of get that, oh, she's genuine. Oh, she actually cares. okay, my social worker was right. She actually is cool. Mm-hmm. You know, they're able to start building something with me. And so one of my things about being a therapist is it's person first. Before we start the therapies, before I give you all these assessments, person first. Like, get to, you can ask me questions. I'm not a blank slate. You can know me to where you can feel safe. And it's truly when they feel safe, that's what keeps them coming back. There is no incentive. We don't have a program where it's like, hey, if you come to therapy, you get a gift. Like, they come because they feel safe. And that is the reward that they get. And I love giving it to them. So truly just making them feel safe. They keep coming back and back and back. And I love that they can get what they need.
I think another thing that also helps too is you do a really good job at reframing what mental health is and why it's so important. So there's a big stigma we know around mental health where a lot of people think, oh, you're asking me to go to a therapist, you think I'm crazy, you think I'm hearing stuff, seeing stuff. And it's like, no, it's like you said, it's truly to help you heal and help you elevate.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I love even like that's through those enrichment classes. Yeah. Again, I go in there and I say, wow, look how relaxed you are just gardening. I wonder when's the last time you actually felt relaxed and safe to do that. Mm-hmm. And just through me asking those questions, through those moments, I'm able to tap into their mind where they ask themselves like, wait, why haven't I talked to someone? Yeah. Or especially the ones that have, hey, I've been there, done that. Yeah. I was a kid in therapy myself and I, you know, went through the shelters and the shelters made it mandatory that I talk to this person and I hated her and, you know, or they just found such disdain towards it, but I'm able to really like, no, this is for you, my friend. It's not even about me. It's about your healing, because if you heal your children, my goodness, they can thrive. You were able, as they go into their own therapy, you can keep that going because you have your own tools. Both of you are meditating before school now. Like, everyone get calm and grounded, you know? Or as both of you are walking to the bus, you are now able to, all right, let me teach my kid. All right, deep breathe, buddy. Okay, we're about to get on the bus. I want you to feel good and safe. You know, like they are really able to take and run with these tools because honestly, they are used to, here's the ticket, here's the number, you can go sit down. Yes or no, have you had a headache? You know, I like to make it alive for them to where it's like, this is your journey and I'm here to just ride it along with you.
And to kind of go back on Jemiah, she collaborates with the Family Engagement Program and she has her own group that's called Protective Parenting. Mm-hmm. So not only is she doing like individual sessions, she's also doing group sessions. And one of her group, the group that she has is, I think it showed me as the director of family engagement that it takes that bond. Mm-hmm. You have to build the bond with the parents because that's the only way that they're going to come to an enrichment class. Mm-hmm. They need to feel safe, like she said. It is about the resource that we're providing them, but at the beginning of it, it's more about the bond that we're building, and then we can give mm-hmm. them the resources, yeah. like she was saying.
And that's been the story up at the North location, like I mentioned, and that's a different story. Those families are very much in trauma. Many of them are moving in right out of their car.
Right.
And or out of a hotel room or something. So they are mm-hmm. very protective. Mm-hmm. But it's been through our families, our Saturday programming. Mm-hmm. We're actually doing some other programming, Mommy and Me kind of thing, yes. to really create those bonds and relationships, and then they open up and mm-hmm. want to receive the services.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, Vogel's not a just free childcare, and you can kind of drop your kids off and not move your family along. You've got to do that. And while we balance the fact of not being the you must do this, mm-hmm. because they come from a world of everybody has
yes.
told them what they have to do
yes.
in order to get something else. But we do hold parents accountable for their journey. And for some people, if you're working full time and doing the best you can, then you meet with your case manager every now and then when you need it. But some people, it's much more intense than that. But even with y'all's program, you have some incentive kind of programs to keep parents involved. So can y'all talk a little bit about that from each of you?
Of course. Yeah, we do ask a lot of our families. And part of the way that we keep them engaged and keep them motivated to do the things that we're asking them to do to help hold them accountable is giving them incentives. So just simple compliance with our program. Hey, you got a job? Give me that letter. Give me those check stubs every time that you're getting paid so we can make sure that we're, you know, know what's going on and helping you maintain. Mm-hmm. If you're coming to Jemiah sessions, if you're going to Chelsea and working on your resume or doing a mock interview, we want to recognize that because the celebration is not always in, yes, I got the keys or yes, I got the job. We definitely keep them motivating by celebrating, hey, you showed up today. Mm-hmm. Or hey, you went upstairs and talked to somebody new. And I know that's really hard for you because you struggled with social anxiety in the past. We're going to make sure that we have a little saying on our team. It's called plus two. And we basically like plus two, maybe we haven't made it all the way to step number 10, but you showed up and you tried and we want to recognize that. And we're going to use that also helping build that rapport and that relationship. And that's also going to give you the motivation to push forward.
So for ours, to kind of go off what Jaleesa was saying for the POC with our incentives, it's more about showing up to the classes and giving you monetary gifts. So as gift cards. So we usually give them gift cards for showing up. And we also provide them with transportation. So if it's something that I'm having a class that's dealing with academic or career and they need to go to an interview, I will try to give them a bus pass or try to provide them with an Uber to make sure that mindset of, oh my gosh, the anxiety, now I have to get dress for work to go to this interview. I have to find me a ride, or I have to jump on the train or jump on the bus. We want to take that anxiety away from you and give you an ease of mind. So just giving them little incentives, even if it's something like I have my career closet that's in the POC. Mm-hmm. So if they need to come in there and grab something to wear, they can get some adult clothes there that'll help them navigate through that interview or navigate just through life in general.
Yeah. And you'd be surprised how something seemingly as small as a $5 gift card for coffee or something that they can use for themselves and not necessarily for their kids, how much that really means to them and pushes them forward as they're going through hard times.
Well, and I think also y'all do a good job of celebrating their successes. Mm-hmm. So if they graduate from with the GED program, when you can imagine that that mom probably remembers when everybody else she knew was graduating from high school and whatever was happening in her life at that point didn't allow that. But now she's getting a GED, and so many times that just becomes kind of, well, I passed the test, so now, but y'all make a big deal about it. Mm-hmm. We have parents that also graduate from some of the job training programs. Mm-hmm. And so can you talk a little bit about the kind of way we celebrate those?
So we have a partnership with Dallas College, and a lot of our parents have entered into their RBCA program, which is the Regional Black Constructors Association. You do not have to be African-American to be a part of it, but it's basically a second chance program where everyone that has just gotten out of jail or experienced some barriers, they can go to this program and learn everything they need to learn about construction. It's a 5-week program. At the end of the program, they give you, you get an OSHA license. You can also have, there's a career fair where all the construction sites come out and they have an interviewing process with the candidates. Majority of the candidates do get jobs. Mm-hmm. They also give you $600. They give you 3 months of rent paid. So if I wasn't in this position, I'd be like, yes. So far we've had around 5 parents that graduated from that program. We are working on trying to bring other programs to Vogel. Phlebotomy. We know a lot of our parents are interested in that, doing CNA, a lot of things in the medical field. So just making sure that they are celebrated with graduations. You were speaking about our GED graduate. We want to make sure that she is definitely taken care of. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have a nice little reception for us. And like we said before, making sure that the parents, this is normal to us to be able to graduate and get a diploma and be out and celebrate with our families, but we want that feeling to be felt across the board. We want them to be normal, feel normal across the board, and to know that even though that you're living this life right now, that this doesn't have to be the end all. This is just a stepping ground, and we're here to elevate you to the next part.
Absolutely.
That's terrific. So I'd like to close out today with success stories. I always like to end our podcast with talking about some specific success stories. So I'd like each of you to kind of end today by, with your kind of what part of the program you do, with a success story of a family that you've worked with that you really saw success with, and give some specifics about that. So Chelsea, you want to start?
Oh yeah, I can go first. Yes. We might have the same people. I don't know. We probably should talk about this.
I was going to say, again, we're such a family where it's like, this is our client, you know, this is our parent.
Exactly.
You know.
So parent, this was a recent thing. Name is Randy. So we all know Randy, and Randy has struggled with her her literacy and reading. So I've been doing reading lessons with her for the past 3 to 4 months. Recently, she was able to fill out an application for school all by herself for her child. That's something that she's never been able to do before. So we were in the bathroom and we were crossing each other, and she was like, "Miss Chelsea, I just have to stop you and tell you how appreciative I am of you, because I was able to do something by myself that I never thought that I was going to be able to do." Mm-hmm. So just for me, something as simple as meeting with somebody for 30 to an hour, you know, every week, 30 minutes to an hour every week, and going over some things with her, and to know that that's something that made her more independent than what she was before, is heartwarming to me. And I know it's maybe something that might seem small to everyone else, but to know that this lady can now go on her own and do it and not have to worry about anybody else helping her. So her next step is GED. Once we get her fully ready and able to read for on her own, GED, getting her driver's license, getting a career started, she is on the up and up. So yes. I can't wait to see her get to where she needs to be. Yes.
It's terrific. Jaleesa?
When I was fairly new to Vogel, I had a mom come from the shelter. She had two kids, set of twins with her, infant twins, and unbeknownst at the time, she was pregnant with number three. Didn't have a very supportive family, is coming from a history of violent relationships, and really essentially just came to me with absolutely nothing. This mom also has, unfortunately, a chronic illness that repeatedly has her in the hospital. So over the past 2 to 3 years, I have quite literally watch this woman not only fight for her life, but fight to make sure that her kids have what they need, and fight to make sure that despite what she's gone through in the past, that she's constantly moving forward. What I love about her is that she comes to me and says, "Hey, this is what I'm trying to do. This is what I've gotten so far. How can you help me?" And we have spent countless amount of hours in my office with the door closed. Mm-hmm. We've had to do certain things on the weekends. We've had to do certain things after hours, but she continues to push. We have been able to get her with a stable vehicle. We have been able to get her healed emotionally from past relationships. We have been able to get her a full-time job. Mm-hmm. And next step for her is going to college. She wants to go back to school and pick up where she left off before things went bad. But what I love the most about her is I feel like I've watched her kind of blossom from, okay, all this is happening to me, what do I do? To now I know how to advocate for myself. Mm-hmm. And she kind of just lets me know at this point, like, "Hey, this is what I got going on. I'm gonna CC you on the email." I got this, but yeah. I'm gonna tag you in when I need it. And I love it. I think it's really a testament. She did take advantage of the POC. She did take advantage of mental health. And it's really just a testament of what you can do when you come in ready and motivated and you take advantages of the services that Vogel provides.
Jemiah?
Oh, wow. So I can think of so many moments of, you know, success with these parents because they amaze me every day. Mm-hmm. But one recently comes to mind. She has been in therapy for quite some time since she's been enrolled in Vogel. And she had to, unfortunately, transition from that therapist. And, you know, she was just kind of feeling lost. And when she came to me, she knew that she had anxiety. She knew I was worried about every single thing, and especially when it comes to being homeless, she was worried about everything. I'm worried about my children. I'm worried about what we eat. I'm worried about the quality of the air. I'm worried about how much gas costs. Like, you know, so many worries. And she would come to me just like, "Jemiah, I can't even make it through the day because I spend it worrying. And I lay out flat at night because I'm exhausted from worrying." And so I was like, "You've been talking with a therapist about this worry?" So of course I had to pull out the colors. I had to pull out the colors, and lo and behold, the true root of it was she did lose at least 3 significant family members through cancer. And through this environment that they grew up in, she attributed some factors to this is why they were not able to be here with me today. Poor access to healthcare and the quality of it. where we lived, again, limited on those resources. And again, the community she was not used to. There was no support. There is no one to build us up or to refer us out. So mm-hmm. she literally watched these loved ones get sick and wither away. And so that literally created an anxiety in her of, if I don't have resources, I'm going to wither away. Mm-hmm. Or if I don't have that good quality of access to those resources that I need, I'm going to wither away. Mm-hmm. And so through that ETT, we were able to, again, reconsolidate her brain, target things, move it around to where she ended. She was like, huh. She's like, I'm going to be okay. She was like, I am. And she felt more at peace with these, with this grief that she was carrying. Because so often, I think our parents don't realize grief can come in different forms. Mm-hmm. Not only can you lose people, yes, through death, but you can lose life. You can lose mm-hmm. the people that were significant to you. And she lost quite a bit through that. And it all got, you know, subconsciously placed. So to her, she's like, I'm just worrying about everything for no reason. But through that ETT, I was able to say, it was something. You were not doing that for no reason. There was a trauma that you weren't able to heal and access. So I am so thankful, and she is very thankful as well, because she's like, thank you. I can now kind of at least worry about the regular normal stuff, right? Right? Like, hey, my kid's not, you know, going to the bathroom right now, which is a regular worry, right? Like, we'll get this potty train stuff down. But I'm glad that she's now able to live in the freedom of just living.
Mm, that's terrific. Well, thank you so much for having this conversation with me and explaining to our listeners, really, you know, the whole concept of what we do with our families, and that we really do take them from crisis to stability to thriving. So thank you so much for being here today. So as we end today, you know, I always tell people, because when people hear what Vogel does, they always ask me, so how can I help? Mm-hmm. So we couldn't do what we do with the through the different programs that we've just talked about. We couldn't do it without the help of the Dallas community. Mm-hmm. So we definitely need financial donations, and you can go on. We are expanding our services, as I mentioned. We right now have a spring campaign going on. We're trying to raise another $500,000 as we end our year in June. So we actually are having a campaign now, so you can actually go on and participate in helping us reach our goal for the end of the year, and you can do that through our website at www.vogelalcove.org. The other way that you can help is through in-kind donations, and we talked a little bit about our resource room and how important that is. But I have to share a story that happened just today. I got a call from the director up at our North location, and he was telling me that there was a family that he had was leaving to go buy some shoes for a little boy that couldn't come down to school because he didn't have any shoes. And I said, wait a minute, we have shoes in the resource room. And so I said, let us get some clothes together. And come to find out, there was a whole family of four children, and they were all in their room at the emergency shelter, and none of them had any clothes. And so it's because of what people have donated to Vogel Alcove in our resource room mm-hmm. that we were able then to go put clothes together, put them in bags. I'll be taking them up to the shelter on my way home this evening so that that family has those clothes. We would not have been able to do that mm-hmm. without the help of people that donate to us for our resource center. We also are starting summer camp. And you think about summer camp, and you're getting ready for summer and going on vacations and things like that. And our kids are interested, going to go to summer camp too, but they're going to go to swimming lessons. But if you don't have swim shoes and bathing suits mm-hmm. and towels and things like that. So right now we are definitely need for those kind of things so that all of our kids can enjoy summer just like other people. And then we do have volunteer opportunities. And so people come from different groups to volunteer. They can do all kinds of things. Some people come and actually volunteer. They go through training and they actually come each day, each week to come and volunteer in the classroom. But you don't have to designate that much time if you don't have it. You can just volunteer for certain projects. So I was talking to my staff today. We are trying to open Redbird, which is our new site in down in South Dallas. And so we need people that can just come and help us hang up bulletin boards or put a file cabinet together that came in a million pieces. All those little things that any volunteer group could just come and help us out for a little time. So there's always some ways that you can help Vogel, so your financial donations, in-kind donations, or volunteering. So please reach out and help us so that we can also continue to support the families that we serve. So thank you again for listening today. We hope that you can come back, and we also hope that you will subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss any of the episodes, and also you can rate this podcast and review it as well. So until next time.